You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray, broadcasting from Park City, Utah, going into the second week of the Sundance Film Festival. And I'm playing with this new background. So next week, I'll have a green screen, and it'll just keep getting better. So I'm glad to be with you guys. I hope that, shout out to all the firefighters and first responders and everybody, everyday heroes in Southern California and LA, San Diego as well. I'm glad that you guys have some rain going on. And when I get home, I want to resume outreach. So make sure you guys are tuned in to our page. We'll be posting on resources if you want to donate and help people in this time of need. But thank you to everyone that's tuning in. And a special shout out to Park City Lodging in Park City, Utah. They will help you with all your lodging needs during Sundance in the summertime, whenever you're in Park City, Utah. They actually saved me today. I had a bad Uber, and I was on the curb in this very cold weather, and they let me come in, warm up, and we had a great conversation. So shout out to Michael and the young lady there who helped me today stay warm. But without further ado, I want to get to my first guest. Eduardo is joining us. Hello, Eduardo. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm staying warm, Eduardo.
I'm sure it's freezing over there.
Oh, yeah. We got some fresh powder. So I'm hoping maybe I'll get a break one of these days here soon and hit the slopes. But why don't we go full screen on Eduardo? Eduardo, why don't you introduce yourself and your brand, and we'll give you the full screen intro.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Eduardo Siegel. I've been doing real estate for pretty much 2.5 decades now. As much as that ages myself, I love the business. You know, I started doing it when I was I started when I was a kid with my dad going, you know, vacuuming hallways and things like that. So I've always had a passion for real estate, and I wrote a book that, you know, I just saw a lot of flaws in the way people thought about real estate, the culture of instant gratification. And I wanted to sort of express my opinion, my way of thinking, and what I was taught and what I've seen very successful people, how they think. For example, one property in Park City is the Montage there. My buddy built that. I interviewed him on a podcast, and I bring stories of people like that, that you know, there's a lot to learn from. And you don't see those kinds of thoughts in mainstream sort of real estate thinking. So just wanted to add my piece to the world that was a little bit controversial.
So I love that you mentioned that. And, you know, let's dig a little deeper in this. You say you want to, you know, add your contribution, which you've already have. Well, congratulations being in the industry for this long and establishing yourself and your partners in your network. But what do you mean by controversial? Let's go deeper.
Yeah, I love that question. I mean, that question is the basis of everything. You know, it's like, good ingredients create good meals. You can't create a good meal out of bad ingredients. The book is about really changing the paradigm of how to think. You know, a lot of people ask me if it's a real estate book that I wrote, called Resisting Recession, by the way. A lot of people, you know, don't know how to think in real estate. You know, they think, for example, and there's tons of examples of this in the book, but one of them is, crowdfunding changed the dynamics of real estate because it changed the supply and demand of the buyer or investor pool. Yeah. A lot of very sophisticated business people, doctors who have their own practices, or even people in other businesses, you know, creating lifts for trucks or building widgets or whatever it is, getting into real estate takes a different mindset. And I found that a lot of people didn't understand how to think in real estate. One of the things that I was alluding to before was the financial metrics. Everybody looks at the IRRs, the equity multiple, the cash on cash. People focus so much on that that they forget about dependency of that income in 10 years down the road, or how they're positioned in relative to the market, or maybe the trending governmental, you know, policies that might affect income limits. Or immigration, you know, changing the dynamics of the supply and demand of a market. So those are the things that I think people overlook a lot of the time. My thinking is, and I kind of, the first 39 pages of the book really starts out talking about money supply and the flaws or the potholes, I guess, of culture that sort of make us not prepared for potential recessions and cycles, which are inevitable in real estate. They happen almost every 20 years since 1770. Mm-hmm. People think it's all hunky-dory, and then, you know, we have a crash. And unfortunately, the middle class is the segment of the market that really takes the biggest blow. And I hate to see, you know, the owner of a laundromat who's saved up for 30 years to buy a triplex lose everything. And, you know, it's just devastating to see the middle class get wiped out. And so I'm trying to bring what I was taught and what I've seen successful into the philosophy on how to invest.
This is great. I'm actually glad we're having this conversation right now. Yes, all those things that you listed are paradigm shifters. And we have a new administration. And wherever you fall on that, if you're looking to invest, you need to be looking at all these dynamics, right? And just looking at it from a financially intelligent lens. I was looking at a property here, $200,000 condo. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, they're making a killing this week and next week during Sundance. But how does it look the rest of the year? You know, right. But people are charging $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 a week. But that's good. You know, you're getting a nice chunk, but how will you pay your mortgage, you know, throughout? So if you had like a first-time buyer and they wanted to buy a little piece of something, but they're renting at their primary address, but let's say they want an investment property, what would be your advice to them right now?
You know, it really depends what deals what they want to do and what they look at. I think for the first step is really understanding what your competitive advantage is. What are you good at? You know, like I'm good at, I think, finding value and extracting it, maybe some design, working in a higher end market. Some people are good at operations, sort of the accounting side of real estate, like we're paying too much to the gardener, and really, micro, you know, that's their strength. You know, it's almost like the operations versus the vision person. Are you creative? Are you structural? Are you okay being entrepreneurial? Because that also, it takes a certain kind of stomach, you know, because you're risking money or you're leveraging and you have a mortgage to pay. If the tenant moves out, what are you going to do? So I think an introspective analysis is important. Airbnbs, that's something that I think people need to approach cautiously, maybe having an ADU in their house, buying a house. Just it's a good start because it's simple. But the Burr method requires, I don't know if your viewers are familiar with the Burr method, but it's basically buy, repair, rent out, refinance, take the money out, put in another property. The idea theoretically sounds great, but when interest rates go up, which is another important trend people really forget about, that's the number one problem in where people lose their properties. The mortgage payment gets to be too burdensome. But that's not a bad way to start, because then you get your hands a little bit dirty in property management, in collecting rents and that sort of thing. But there might not be a ton of, you know, value add in that, or there might be. Doing construction, if you're good at managing a team, you know, if you're an assertive person and you're good at, you know, sort of kindly, I guess, micromanaging people, keeping an eye on every dollar, keeping everything under contract. And when there's changes, you have things, you know, papered out pretty well and you know your numbers. Mm-hmm. Then maybe some construction work would be good for that type of person.
Okay. And this is, let's pitch the book again. Give us the title and where we can find it, where we can pick it up.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. Amazon.com. And the book's name is Resisting Recession, because it's all about protecting yourself once you're in the down cycle. It's horrible to see people build a great portfolio and then they lose it all because a recession wipes them out. The idea is to be strong in hard times and strong in good times as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I love your example of the person that saved for 30 years and they're ready to level up and they're buying this duplex, right? And to build out in their portfolio and then having to lose that. I love that that's a clear example of what would really be on the line. And you can feel all that blood, sweat, and tears for 30 years. And so, you guys, if you want to grow your portfolio and you're looking at real estate to do so, pick up this book, Resisting Recession by Eduardo Segal. He's an expert for over 2.5 decades, and he knows what the heck he's talking about. Also, Ricardo, if we could pick your brain a little bit here, give me your top five areas in the U.S., top five in the U.S. of where people should purchase property.
That's a great question.
And it could be in any order. All right. So first time buyer or maybe someone who's buying an investment property that is already a homeowner, where should we be looking?
I'm going to include some of my my friends where they're buying because they have some interesting rationale. I haven't done my research, but
okay,
I would definitely say Texas is great. I know that's a state. I love Dallas and surrounding areas, McKinney, Plano. Mm-hmm. I'm not super sure about Austin, but because I think it had a bit of a slip during COVID and recently, it was so hyped up.
Yeah.
Idaho sometimes can be good. That might have been
a little Idaho. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Midwest I hear is very popular. Iowa, Ohio, mm-hmm. Tennessee. I know this is more that you asked for.
No, it's good.
Florida. I think it's all exciting. Raleigh, Savannah, and let's see. Phoenix is also great. Really great. I hear some people doing some good investments there. Yeah. Colorado is always exciting, but the trends make me not want to politically make me not want to necessarily recommend it. Just like California, the politics kind of make it unpredictable sometimes. But LA is always a good market.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what's going on, Cali, if you've got property there, you're going to come out pretty good if you manage it, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. If you could pay your property taxes and manage your debt properly, yeah, then I think long run, amazing appreciation.
Yeah. So, okay, these are great tips here, everybody. Get Eduardo Segal's book, Resisting Recession. If you're interested in real estate, if you want to find out your strengths and weaknesses in this regard, I like the introspective analysis point. I like the Burr method. I think that this is really, really basic stuff to help you have some literacy in this regard, folks. So I'm excited. How is your book doing? Are you trending at all? Or when do you, how long has it been on the market?
Probably about 6 months now. I love the book. I think it's great. Everybody I've given it to and recommended, they read it, they love it. And, it's exciting when people come up to you and, they know chapters and they know a little bit about your personal life. I've worked with my father my whole life, so I include a lot of stories in there, kind of like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But, it's not always about money. Sometimes the book's not about money necessarily. It's about, philosophy. So my dad taught me a lot of how to think. So I include a lot of metaphors and stories in there. They're all true. But, I like that people get to know me better that way. So it's nice to feel personal.
Well, and it's smart to do it that way, Eduardo. I was just speaking with another client. And right now, if you don't have a story, even on social media, if you're not story based, you got to tie things in to marry it. And why do people care? So there has to be a little emotional capital in these things for people to really to draw it in and relate. What are your projections for 2025 in the real estate market? Last question.
We have a lot of chaos happening right now. It's very hard to tell. There's a lot of volatility. I feel like there's more and more opportunities coming along. Unfortunately, with these fires, with Trump being in president, coming into being president, there's changes that are going to happen that are going to affect the industry. It's just a supply or demand. The fires took out a ton of the supply of housing. It's going to change the dynamics in LA. It's changing the dynamics in other parts because people might migrate out. Trump coming into office, I'm not sure what numbers are. The construction labor force may be affected, which may increase the cost of construction. So if you own real estate, that's a good thing. If you're trying to build something, that your costs might change. Mm. I think that there's a lot changing and there's going to be it's a good time to save money and to invest. That's kind of what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, staying with our eyes open, talking to people. Networking is huge.
Yeah.
It's a relationship-based business. So, you know, getting out there and sort of chatting with people and seeing what's going on is a huge thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of moving parts going on. We're going to see, you know, there's cause and effect for everything. And I think with the fires, you know, I live in Laguna Beach, so I'm right in between LA and San Diego. I'm already seeing rents go down in that area. We've got some people from Pasadena and Altadena that have migrated down to the beach. Wow. I ran into this lady and she just gave me a hug. And I was like, I gave her the, you know, they just lost their house. I mean, it was insane. But I agree with you. I predict people will, you know, take some of their shekels and migrate to Nevada, to Vegas, to Phoenix, you know, Arizona, maybe upwards to Oregon. I think there will be a little bit of an exodus. Because some of these people that are in the Palisades have other homes, you know, so I think people will go. And also there's generational wealth in homes in Altadena too, for the Black community. Right. So I think that there's going to be some exodus, not that people don't want to be there, but just to maybe take a beat and, you know, bring it back together. But I'm so glad you're on the show. Guys,
it's good to talk to you, Monique.
You too, dear Eduardo Segal. You guys, Resisting Recession on Amazon, get into it. Eduardo, I'd love to have a 6-month check-in. Maybe you'll come in during the summer. We'll see if some of the stuff that you predict are happening, and maybe you'll have better proxy on what's to come.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay. Great. Be well. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jared. All right, guys. Next up, we're going to shift gears a little bit. My friend, your friend, everybody's uncle, Uncle Selwyn. Uncle Selwyn Jones, welcome to the startup, darling. Welcome back. Hi, dear. We could barely hear you. Let's check that volume and make sure. It's a little muffled. You sure look nice, though. You look like you just came from church. Yeah, the sound's a bit muffled. So let's have you exit and then come back in. While Uncle Selwyn is doing that, I'm going to tee him up. Uncle Selwyn is someone I've been working with for the last couple of years. He and his family are George Floyd's family. He's George Floyd's uncle. This show is not a political show. I had another show for that. This show is about business and startups. So what we're going to talk about with Uncle Selwyn is his journey into the nonprofit space, right? So yes, the topic is a hot one. But I think we can stay in the lines of business and becoming a nonprofit, how to fundraise, how to make people aware of something, a social impact topic, social awareness topic. Okay, so that's kind of the lens we're going to go in here. So if this is a topic that, you know, you're not comfortable with, please know we're coming from the startup space. All right, Uncle Selwyn, let's see if we can hear you.
Is that better?
Oh, it's perfect. Hello, darling. How are you? Good. You look great. You look very handsome, like you just came from service.
Oh, Lordy. Come on, babe.
Okay. So the startup, as you know.
I'm so cute.
You're looking good. All right. You're looking good. You're not in your George Jefferson suit today.
I am doing a documentary in Minneapolis. I
missed the flight.
I missed my flight because it was kind of a match and I don't have to get there. So, oh well, I'll be there tomorrow.
Hey, there's a lot of flights going out every day. So you'll be there when you're supposed to. All right, so we're going to have you intro yourself, Uncle Selwyn, but before we go full screen on you, I want to just preface, you've been on the show, but we're going to stay in the more starting up in your foundation and kind of you sharing the process of starting up like a politically aware business. So we won't go into the deep depths of what it is. People know your name and people know who George Floyd is, but let's stay in the lane of how you are built this network and you got into the fundraising and awareness space. So let's go full screen on Uncle Selwyn. And Uncle Selwyn, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us your deal.
Hello, everyone. I'm Uncle Selwyn, a.k.a. Selwyn Jones, the uncle of the late George Floyd. And pretty much what we do is help people. We want to make world a better place by using the platform that I was given, and obviously, George Floyd, Indianapolis. 5 years ago, May 22nd, we've created a foundation that is our partners are pretty much helping people. The reality is, there's a lot of people in this world that need just a little help. There's a lot of people in this world that need an opportunity to grow. So that's what we do. We help people grow, help people be out.
Yes. Now, Selwyn, we're having a mic issue again.
Right, let me try this.
Okay, and you said it so well. Live podcast. That's what happens sometimes. Yeah, let's see if we can do it again. Nope. That's not there. And by the way, while Selwyn is working on this, guys, I want to remind you, these people that I interview are travelers. You know, things happen on the road, but we will get it worked out while Uncle Selwyn is working on that. If you're not following us, please follow us on Instagram at The Startup with Monique LeRae and on YouTube. Latchkey Kid Films is our distribution arm, as well as LA Talk Radio. You can find us on www.latalkradio.com. And we're on every Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific. All right. And okay, say your name again, because it sounds better there.
Is that better or worse?
That's better. If you could, whenever you move your head, it changes. I don't know what happened.
Is that better?
No, it was better before.
Hello.
No. Yeah. So it's bad. So it's bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Uncle Selwyn come back. Uncle Selwyn, will you join us next Sunday?
I'll join you next Sunday.
Okay, will you be dressed nice and handsome like you are now?
Always.
Oh, I love it. All right, so you guys wave to Uncle Selwyn. He'll be back next weekend on Sunday. And we'll see you soon, okay, Uncle Selwyn? Guys, well, will you start up today? Be well, and we will see you next week, and we'll have Uncle Selwyn back. Okay.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.